Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we'll find in Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured out me rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then said I shall die in my nest. And I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, what I am about to say about this passage, I think, will surprise none of you. The interpretation, the understanding, the use of the passage seems to be very clear to me. Job is lamenting that his days have turned the way they have, and so, to comfort himself, he is imbibing in a little, or indulging himself in a little bit of nostalgia when days were better, and pining for those days when things were nicer than they are now. Not a good way to conduct yourself. But that's what he's doing. He's recalling, and he's got, if you will, quite a long list of things that used to characterize him. Things wherein he was honored, respected. When they saw me coming, even the princes stopped talking. Right? I was a guide to the blind. I spread out my skirt over the poor and helped them. I was respected, honored. Notice the first word of chapter 30, but. He's going to go on to contrast that day with his present day. And it might be all right that Job, in his argument here, is using his history. However, when he says in verse 2, Oh, that I were as in months past. He betrays his desire, does he not? And so, remember how he has been accused. Job, you are some kind of wicked sinner, and that's why God has afflicted you so. Job says, have you forgotten those days about me? Have you forgotten when I was in my prosperity? What would you say of me then? Your argument is not valid. Except that Job says, oh, that I were in those days. And how many folks have you known, or perhaps you yourself have indulged yourself in pining for the older and better days? Remember that pining for older and better days carries with it a twofold difficulty. The first difficulty is that has not God sent these days as well as those? Are not the days that are current to us, if they are days of affliction, as much a gift from God as former days of ease? Is not the course that God is taking with Job here unavailable to the man who lives in ease? Is not the prophet that Job is about to receive in his spirit, in his soul, is that not unavailable to his former self? Why does God take his people through such afflictions as these? Because it is in those days that they learn things that they would not otherwise learn in other days. The Lord takes no pleasure in drawing his people through the rocks behind the wagon, as it were. He takes no pleasure in that. But the Lord does take us through such courses for our training and for our learning, and tells us over and again in Scripture to look not upon the affliction per se, but look at the glory that is to follow the affliction. The things that Job will learn in this trial, I dare say, if I could impute perhaps thought to our patriarch here, I would dare say that he would never say at the end of this book, I wish I had not gone through that affliction or those afflictions. Because he will say, what? Before I had heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye see thee. Let's remember that about Job. Let's remember that when we indulge ourselves in pining over the prosperous days of the past, the first thing that we forget is that God sends these days as well as those. And the second thing wherein this is an unwise course is that we often remember those things in a light that is not accurate, a light that is not truly real compared to how they were. You've heard the phrase, which is becoming more and more popular these days, maybe for the wrong reason, that the good old days were not so good. And that's generally true. We tend to look at them through rose-colored or nostalgic glasses, those older days. And there is also something to be said for that, right? Notice what Job says here. When I was in my youth, when I didn't have the aches and pains and inabilities that I have now, when I was young and vigorous, and there have been many in their latter age that have thought or pined for youth and vigor. But was youth and vigor all it was cracked up to be? Do we not hear over and again in Scripture, O Lord, remember not the sins of my youth? Let's remember that youth is often accompanied with folly. We have this phrase, youth is wasted on the young. I was thinking through that phrase a while back, and I was wondering, you know, often people will say, would you like to go back and be 20 again? Oh, yes, if I could take my 50-year-old mind with me, right? But let me ask you that question, and let us think about that. Knowing what we know about ourselves, if we went back, even at my age, I'm 60 years old, if I went back into a 20-year-old body, what would happen to my 60-year-old mind? Would it not revert to some of those 20-year-old patterns again? Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, let's not make that strange bifurcation between body and mind in such a way that we think that they're totally separate, because they're not. Let us not pine for days gone by, because God has sent these days as well as those. And also, let us not pine for days gone by according to the fantasy by which we remember them, rather than remembering them for what they truly were. Job indulges himself in an unwise course here. Now, he does so for the sake of argument. He's speaking against the argument of his friends, and so we want to give him a little bit of grace there. But when he says, "Oh, that I were as in," and then he goes on to fill out, well, it is at that point that we must object. All right, thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 29. Let's